How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
New York made a powerful statement, not just for the people of New York, but the people all across this nation. We reached a new level of social justice.
He is, in fact, wants to impose one point of view on everybody, namely that there's only one sort of marriage and it's genderless. And if you don't accept it, then you're a bigot.
People of all faiths are welcome in this country. Our nation was founded on a principle of religious tolerance.
You see concern about Mormonism particularly strong among white evangelical Protestants. A little bit over a third, 34%, tell us they'd be less likely to back a candidate who was Mormon.
That faucet of forgiveness needs to be wide open because God's not stingy.
Duluth, Minnesota letter carriers love Issues Etc.
It's kind of become part and parcel of the American dream that you'll raise your kids, you'll get them out of high school, you'll send them off to college. When they're done with that, they're done with being home. When they're done with that, they're done being kids in that sense, being dependent, living in your house. But that's not the way it's working out for more and more young people who get out of college and find no job waiting for them, or they have to wait, or go to more school, or do something like that. They move back home. So how do we deal with the vocations of parent and child when parents and children are both adults and both living under the same roof, at least temporarily? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live on this Monday, June the 27th. We're going to talk about young adults moving back home. Pastor Hal St. By will be our guest. After that, Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us for a little journey on the wall with Nehemiah. We'll talk Cyril of Alexandria with Pastor Will Whedon in the second hour, and the moral and spiritual themes of the movie Cars 2 with Robert Velarde in the second hour as well. Pastor Hal Sinkbeil is Executive Director of Spiritual Care for Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel based in Brookfield, Wisconsin. He's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Boomerang Kids. Pastor Sinkbeil, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Great to be with you, Todd.
Why are so many kids that would otherwise, perhaps in previous decades, be making it out on their own, be flying the nest, coming home to roost for a while?
Well, of course, there's probably a variety of reasons, but I think the biggest reason is because of the economic conditions, the lack of the kind of job selections that used to be available, and the fact that after getting some training or even college, these kids are finding it difficult to find employment. So for many of them, it's an economic necessity. Some of them, some of the statistics I've seen is anywhere from 15 to 20% of young adults are coming back home to live with their parents.
So what makes this a difficult family situation to deal with? What are the problems that arise when kids that would ordinarily be out of the house are back in the house?
Well, I think for both parents and kids, it's in many cases, it's kind of a comeuppance because neither one of them really planned it to be that way. And the anticipation is, in our culture, that once you get past high school and you go off to get some training and find a job, you're off on your own. And yet, that's increasingly not the case. So it's it creates kind of an emotional glitch, so to speak. Sociologically, of course, it's a problem because you're trying to adjust to new living circumstances at a different stage in life, and doesn't always work so smoothly. But I think spiritually speaking, the big problem is we're all selfish, and it's me, myself, and I, and it's the old Adam. It's a problem called sin that rears its ugly head. So that creates a real difficulty when you're trying to put people back into a slot where they thought they no longer were going to be living.
So it creates problems for both the parents and the kids. I mean, maybe first parents admitting that after having raised their kids, put them through college and everything, they're kind of looking forward to a little bit an empty nest, so to speak.
Yeah, I think so. Mom and Dad are thinking it's going to be just you and me, honey. And lo and behold, this little one that they raised to adulthood is now back as an adult. And that kind of creates a whole different set of circumstances. For the young adult, on the other hand, many of them could consider it certainly a disappointment, and some of them outright failure, because they had set their sights on going out and becoming something in a particular career, and it doesn't seem to be available to them at the moment, and they may have to settle for a very minimal, low-paying job while they live back home again.
It could also, if I imagine, from the parents' perspective, put additional financial burdens on them.
Certainly, I would think so. And that, of course, is always a complicating factor, trying to work out the monthly budget with another mouth to feed and perhaps just a limited amount of income to cover it.
So what is your best and first piece of pastoral advice for parents and kids involved in this back home situation?
Mm-hmm. Well, Todd, I think we'd do well as Lutheran Christians to go back to our catechism, understand what it means to be father, mother, son, or daughter, but now at a different stage in life. And so a vocational question, I think, is the first thing I would look at from a pastoral position, and that's, you know, your responsibility as mom and dad certainly shifts over the decades, but you never really give up your responsibility to be a provider and a source of stability and strength for your child, even though he or she is an adult. Likewise, for the young adult, they must remember to show honor and respect to their parents, even though they're no longer at that stage of dependence that they once were. And so when they're coming back under this roof, it's no longer certainly as a adolescent, but nevertheless as one who honor and respects their father and mother. So those vocational things, I think, would be very helpful from the pastoral point of view. Beyond that, I would look to things like let's sit down and look practically at what this means in terms of, you know, what's the daily schedule like? How can we respect one another as mature adults? And we're not roommates, we're members of a household. And so given this mutual responsibility between parents and adult children, how can we give to help one another through these unique circumstances?
One of the things that I think both parents and kids need here, having been given some time away from each other, having experienced, as you say, that vocation as parent or child, absent from one another, back together in the same house, is what you call breathing space. Talk about that, if you would.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think that's kind of a mutual respect. I mean, mom and dad have had an intervening time, could be months, could be years, between the time that this young adult left home and now is back again. So they developed their own habits and their own routines. And so as their as this young person moves back into the household, they're going to have to respect that and realize that things are not as they once used to be. And so they need to honor their parents' new customs. Likewise, the person who moves back into the household is no longer a child in terms of the developmental stage, but that person now has their own maturity level that needs to be respected by their parents as well. So we are coming to a relationship that is still the same in terms of parent and child, but nevertheless it is changed dramatically in that you now have an adult child. So I think getting to that's part of the adventure and also the tension, you know, getting to know one another now as adults in a new circumstance and looking then for what God's providing for you in this new situation.
Pastor Sinkbell, we just had our daughter. She's been married for about a year, out of the house, for the better part of a year, actually so far away that we can't visit her even if we want to most of the mm-hmm. time. Come back to visit and stay with us for a couple of weeks. And I've noticed that kind of transition over those 3 weeks from everything's kind of beautiful and nice and we're all just delighted to be together again. And it's pretty ideal, tell you the truth. And then by the end of the 3 weeks, we're falling back into the habits of being parents of a teenager when she's really not that anymore. And she's falling mm-hmm. back into the habits of being a kid around the house when she really isn't that. Anymore.
Right.
You spoke earlier about vocation. What would you advise in the case of the simple, sounds like a confusion of current vocations there?
Right. So I think if we're going to gravitate back to our default positions that we're accustomed to, and that's probably not a very healthy situation. So probably it would be wise to actually have some conversations about expectations. For example, you know, who's going to be doing the laundry in these situations? Is it if just because mom did all the way through high school, does that mean that mom's going to continue to do this? What household chores need doing now, not by a kid necessarily, but by an adult who is now again part of our household? How can that person contribute to the welfare of the entire household now as an adult? And then always looking, I think, also for the positive spin on it, and that is it's kind of a new adventure. Let's get to know this person now whom we have known all along, but from a different angle, and recognize that this person is part of our family, our flesh and blood, who now is an adult, and has all kinds of new perspectives that can enrich our relationship rather than just kind of frustrate it.
Well, let's take a break right here. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about young adults moving back home. Have we created a false expectation that didn't exist in previous generations when more than one generation lived under the same roof? Have we created a false expectation that kids need to be out and on their own so early? We'll get an answer to that question on the other side of the break. Pastor Hal Sinkbile is our guest. It's Monday afternoon, June the 27th. We're talking about young adults moving back home.
He's the most Lutheran man in the world.
I'm not always in Pensacola, Florida, but when I am, I attend Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Congregation of Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida invites you to join us for divine services on Sundays at 8 or 10:30, Sunday school and Bible class at 9:15. Whether you're in Pensacola to enjoy the white sandy beaches of the Emerald Coast or for military training, we invite you to join us. Jesus is here. Word, water, bread and wine for you.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Stay Lutheran, my friends.
How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Welcome back to Issues Etc., talking with Pastor Hal Sinkbeil, Executive Director of Spiritual Care for Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel, based in Brookfield, Wisconsin, author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Boomerang Kids. We're talking about those kids that come home when the expectation is they should be out and on their own. Now, for the kids that are still at home, the little ones, we have the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. It's called the Story Bible. It is what you would expect from kind of your old school big story Bible. Beautiful illustrations, simply told, accurate Bible stories from the Old and the New Testament. There's more in the Story Bible, however. They have along the side, in the sidebar as we say nowadays, both vocabulary that the kids might need explained to them. That's very helpful to parents. And then they have three categories: ask, do, and pray, a prayer, and questions to ask as you think with your children about the Bible story you're looking at, and then do a suggested activity. It really is a complete resource. The Story Bible from Concordia Publishing House. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call them and order one for a kid that you know, maybe one of your own kids, or if you don't have kids or you have grandkids, they need it too. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, the Story Bible from Concordia Publishing House. Pastor Sinkbeil, have we created an unreasonable expectation? When previous generations had more than one generation living under the same roof out of financial necessity, they didn't think much about this. Sometimes kids would marry and even live with the parents for a while because it was a financial necessity. Have we created an unreasonable expectation that our kids be out and on their own right after college?
I think that's right, Todd. I think we have kind of grown accustomed to it. It's become almost a given for most of us. And yet, as you pointed out, I mean, that's not been the case, certainly in many cultures still today. And looking at the biblical situation, you had multiple generations living under one roof. I think probably part of this is a kind of our American individualism that, and kind of the American dream, everybody's kind of getting their pot of gold and achieving something for themselves, rather than probably the broader perspective is that we support one another all our life from different strengths, in times of different strengths and weaknesses. And some of the people that I've read recently are kind of wondering out loud whether there may be a shift in American culture as a result of this economic reality, and that the new normal may be, in fact, that we have a closer relationship and kind of an expectation that there will be a closer relationship between generations, maybe not always under the same household, but certainly in terms of how we care for one another. For example, you know, I think for several generations now, the expectation is that as people grow older, they will kind of fend for themselves, and then they will purchase insurance and purchase the kinds of services that they need to care for themselves in their old age, whereas that's certainly not the case in many other countries and many other cultures. Will the boomerang phenomenon mean that some of these kids are coming home now and getting to know their parents as, from an adult point of view? Will they then also pick up some responsibilities to care for their parents as they grow older? It would be interesting to see.
How important is it to remember that the dynamic, if you will, in the family will necessarily change, but it remains a family and not simply a group of adults, as you would say, not simply roommates under the same roof?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think so. I mean, that, and I think that's something we have to keep in mind from a Christian point of view, because our culture will tell us well, these kids grew up and moved out. Okay, they're coming back for a short time. But it's kind of a relationship of convenience. As Christians, I think we say, no, we're family, and we're not just providing shelter and nourishment. So that means that we are going to be tending to one another and caring for one another in multiple ways. I think that might mean working extra hard to create those situations where we can sit around a table, for example, at the same time at a given time in the day, or at least several times a week, so that we can actually converse about things that are important to us, that we can once again, or maybe for the first time, open up the scriptures, have a time of God's word and prayer, so we can receive God's own care for us as his people in the family circle. It takes special effort, and it certainly if it's not been part of our habit or custom, it'll take some discipline and direction. But the rewards, I think, are terrific, and it's worth the effort.
I think the tendency, or one of those default positions that you spoke about before, for a parent with a kid back in the house, an adult child back in the house, who may be quasi-independent financially, really wants to be fully independent in every way, is the old saying, as long as you live under my roof, you live under my rules. Is that necessarily a good position for a parent in that situation to take?
Well, you know, Todd, Scripture says that parents should not exasperate their children. That pertains particularly, of course, as they're young and are growing up. In other words, our discipline needs to be coming from love and not from a position of power. And so we take our responsibility seriously as kind of agents and co-workers with God to nurture a child. So maybe some of that my house, my rules is not always coming from the best motivations unless it's informed by God's word. But I think it's particularly dangerous when an adult child moves back and we kind of go back to that knee-jerk reaction, got to keep this kid in line, when in fact we now have a mature adult who, to be sure, is owes me respect and honor. But nevertheless, that's not enforced by my necessarily laying down the rules, so to speak. Rather, I think it's good to sit down and say, okay, now as we have this new circumstance, let's determine together what is the new normal. Because you're no longer an adolescent, and you're a contributing adult. What can we provide for you, and what can you provide for us, so that together as a household, we can define a new relationship that's based on mutual trust and love for God.
Finally, then, with about 30 seconds here, Pastor Sankpal, the family altar and the church altar, how important are those things in the life of a family that is reunited after this time of separation? About 30 seconds.
Well, certainly life of God's that God provides through his gifts, namely his gospel and sacraments, are the lifelines of every Christian. And therefore, it's important that each person within the household find that nourishment that's provided in God's house. And that then is extended within the household as we collectively sit down around God's word and praying back to him those words which he's given to us, so that we find our identity as Christians and our life together as parents and children reunited now in an adult household, finding new direction and finding new relationships for our mutual support. So I think that's that's vitally important, and that expectation, I think, would be part of what our life is like now in this new arrangement.
Before we let you go, Pastor Sankpal, you're Executive Director for Spiritual Care for Doxology. Tell us about this organization.
Well, Todd, I'm very excited about Doxology. It's a continuing education program for pastors But it has great benefits also for congregations because it gives both pastors and laity a mutual understanding, a clear understanding of what the care of souls is about and how pastors can be better equipped to provide that, and then how the leaders of the congregation can create the kind of environment that would be helpful for their pastor as he goes about his God-given tasks. So it's a great opportunity. Have your listeners tune in to or tune in and go to visit our website, doxology.us, for the details.
Folks, you can find out more about doxology at our website, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Hal Sinkbile is Executive Director of Spiritual Care for Doxology, based in Brookfield, Wisconsin, and author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Boomerang Kids. Thanks for being our guest.
My pleasure, Todd. Blessings to you and all your listeners.
Well, when we come back, we're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson, worshiping on the wall as they did. The exiles return with Nehemiah. And in Nehemiah chapter 12, that's where we'll start with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Issues Etc. regular guests Pastor Matt Harrison, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be speaking at the Premier Worship Conference of 2011. Sing His Praise, His Love Declare. It's July 27th through the 29th on the campus of Concordia University, Nebraska. For more information on the worship conference, Sing His Praise, His Love Declare, visit Seward2011.org or call 402-643-2983.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm. So check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Canadian teens are walking across their country to bring attention to unborn babies killed by abortion. They're called Crossroads. The kids are sore, have blisters, and two blown out knees, and they've attracted Satan's attention. The RV constantly needs small repairs, and the support vehicle was totaled by another driver while going to speak at a church. Last year, the same thing happened. But a young girl was at that church, heard their message, and changed her mind about having an abortion. Maybe the devil was trying to avoid another save this year. These youthful heroes walk 5 days a week and spend weekends praying in front of abortion mills and speaking at churches. Find out how you can help them save lives. Visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.